I think I told you last week that I was going to submit, and I did submit, comments to the EPA on the proposed RFS supplemental rule. Five other Midwestern senators and Governor Reynolds did it, and I hope a lot of other people will, including public officials. I'm glad to have the opportunity to comment and encourage farmers, biofuel producers, and other interested in supporting the RFS to comment before the deadline of November 29th this year, epa.gov. This week, the Midwest senators are sending a cover letter with our comments to President Trump, because I don't think President Trump's going to have time to read all these comments we put in the register. The president's been a long-time supporter of biofuels and made a commitment to Iowa and the surrounding biofuel-producing states. The EPA shouldn't undercut President Trump's support for the RFS, and we surely feel that the rules that were put out a couple weeks ago do that. I urge the EPA and Wheeler to adjust the proposed supplemental rule to account for actual waived gallons using hard data from the past practice to send an unambiguous signal to the marketplace. I look forward to seeing President Trump's promises fulfilled. That promise is pretty simple. What the law suggests, 15 billion gallons has to be mixed with gasoline. Not something less than that has been the case in the last 3 years of the Obama administration and 3 years of this administration. Tom Ryder.
Good morning, Senator. Senator, I want to ask you a little bit about trade. Are you hearing any more on the situation with China? We hear positive things initially, then we hear that maybe neither side will lift tariffs and that kind of thing. But are you hearing any more positives in that area, sir?
Probably the very same things you hear, because I have not had a briefing on this, but everything I've heard is pretty positive. And the tariff thing, was that brought up by the United States or was it brought up by China? And it may be China chiding us. It may be China, you know, setting its own public relations. And I would say that that'll be one of the last things decided, because the tariffs are a leverage to get other things that we want. Gene at Iowa Farmer. Okay. Amy at Iowa Public Radio.
Senator, I know the governor and agriculture secretary are on a trade mission to Japan, and I was just wondering if you had anything to add about the Japan trade deal and what that may mean for Iowa agricultural goods.
Yeah, maybe this is too general of a comment for you, but let me tell you how I describe it most often, and then if you have a follow-up, ask me. First of all, before I talk about your question, just a few months before this trade deal was finalized, Japan is now letting our beef into Japan, where it hadn't been in for a long, long period of time. And I don't know whether that goes back to the mad cow disease or there's something else about Japan and our beef. But anyway, we seem to be getting beef in there outside of this agreement. Now, the way I describe, in answer to your question, the agreement is that for agriculture, it gains back about 90% of what was lost when the president took us out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP. And it does it in a way so we're not 3 years behind. Because whatever the tariffs levels that were set by TPP, we're getting those same reduced tariff levels to get our products into Japan. And about the only place where it might come up a little bit short would be, I've heard to what degree, I don't know, but a little less with dairy than all these other agricultural products. But everybody figures it's quite a win for American agriculture. Okay, then let's go to Chuck Abbott.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. On Friday, USDA was 10 minutes late in delivering information on its crop report. Have you heard any complaints from farmers about the delay and whether that led to people losing money or somebody unscrupulously making money while USDA was figuring out how to make its computer system work?
No, I haven't heard anything now. And so twice this year in June town meetings and August town meetings for different reasons, some dissatisfaction with what USDA does with their crop reports was expressed to me at my town meetings. And then I followed up because I told these farmers just the first chance I get to talk to the ag people about this, I brought it up with the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture when he appeared before the Agriculture Committee now maybe 3 weeks ago, roughly. Ben at AgriPulse.
Hi, good morning, Senator. I just wanted to know if there, if you have any update on the latest progress with Chairman Neal's office on a tax extenders package.
No, and I wish I did, but we're reaching a point where, well, when I say we're reaching a point, if we were going to have a final omnibus appropriation bill to take us through to September 30th, that would be November 21st. And that would have been our last chance to get it attached to what we call a must-pass bill. Now, there's two theories out there that we won't shut down government, but is it going to be a continuing resolution until Christmas, which would be the drop-dead date to get a final agreement on extenders, or some people are saying it could go over into next year, which then a drop-dead date that I wouldn't know until we find out what that is next year. If it's this year, it'd be before Christmas. I think that is something that Iowans have their minds on, so it's perfectly appropriate for you to ask the question you do, because this is something, whereas I just told another group that I haven't heard much about impeachment in Iowa, hardly anything compared to biodiesel tax credit and a lot of other tax issues and the secure bill that we're floating around trying to get passed. Iowans have made their voices heard on the need for extenders, and I wish the House Democrats would listen to Iowans on this issue. And Len, let me give you a kind of a editorial comment that in past years, we've had extenders going back to the 1980s. Now, not very many of them like now. It eventually got up to 50. Then we either did away or changed them to some extent. So there may only be in the neighborhood of 30 right now, made them permanent or did away with them. Or like the wind energy tax credit, we failed that, phased that out. Solar the same. So I'm talking about a certain amount of extenders over the last three decades. And it's just kind of been automatic and bipartisan to get them on a must-pass bill, or sometimes maybe a separate bill, but with very little controversy. And now there doesn't seem to be this bipartisanship. I don't hear anything from Democrats except Senator Cantwell about the necessity of biodiesel as an example. So she's very adamant about moving something along. But there's other Democrats that are sponsoring the craft beer tax issue that expires at the end of this year. And there's a lot of Democrat co-sponsors of a bill to eliminate the sales tax on medical devices, which has caused a lot of medical device industry to move out of the country, as an example. And I just don't hear this from the Democrats. And in the Senate, at least, the Democrats are tied up with impeachment. Maybe it's a good excuse in the House of Representatives that they're more interested in obliterating the results of the 2016 election through impeachment rather than passing legislation. But in the Senate, that wouldn't be any excuse, but I don't have any update. Now, Do I have an update from the standpoint? Is this talked about quite regularly? Yes. Is there any progress being made in the negotiations been having going on for about 5 or 6 weeks between Republicans and Democrat staffs of Ways and Means Committee and the Finance Committee? Yes, those discussions are still going on, but no agreement. Matt Kay.
Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Senator. Can you paint a picture of a scenario in which USMCA is ratified this year with 8 days left in the legislative days left in November, that both chambers are in session, and 8 in December, particularly since Mexico and Canada still have to be consulted on the end product? And secondly, what is your opinion on the Democratic presidential candidate, several of them proposing a wealth tax that might hit estate taxes and capital gains taxes important for agriculture?
Let me answer the last question. It's not taxation, it's confiscation. On the first question, I think the way the House can do business through the medium of the Rules Committee issuing a rule, the House could pass USMCA in a couple hours if they wanted to. Now, there's got to be, I think it's 10 hours of debate in the Senate under TPA, but we could pass it in one day too. So I think the number of days that you accurately say are going to be in session between now and Christmas are few, but that would not keep USMCA from coming up. And, again, just last week, no, it was a week ago, this last weekend, that Pelosi told Bloomberg that she expected to come up. So I feel very positive about it. Let's see, who's on from Politico? Catherine or Helena?
Hi, Senator.
Who is it?
Hi, Senator. This is Oma Sadiq from Politico.
Yeah, go ahead.
I understand that you met with the WTO Director General Azevedo last week. Would you mind sharing what his outlook on the appellate body dispute is at the moment? And have you gotten any indication from the Trump administration that they're willing to take action before the appellate body ceases to function next month?
Since it was a private meeting and I didn't ask permission, so consequently I didn't have permission to state what was going on there, I think I should not comment, but there's another reason I shouldn't comment. If I did know, if I did have permission to talk about a private conversation, then since negotiations are going on, you don't really want to negotiate in the press or media. So I can't comment on it. But you're accurate that I did meet with him. And I could say I was brought up to date on a lot of things, but I won't tell you what I was brought up to date on. And I felt it was a very positive meeting. Ellen at CQ.
Good morning, Senator. What do you think the future of RFS is after 2022, given the struggles that the industry is having in trying to get the waived gallons back into the total amount? And I think you've also indicated in the past that maybe there's not the political support there used to be for, ethanol.
Well, let's back up. The issue of the waived gallons being put back in to make the 15 billion gallons is one issue. And that's if EPA carries out, and I've expressed my doubt about them carrying it out because of the way they've written this rule. But if they carry it out the way of our September meeting in the Oval Office at the White House, then those we get 15 billion gallons. So that's one issue. Now, the other one is, after 2022, if Congress does nothing, then it's up to EPA to determine how they're going to handle RFS. They have that, I think they have that authority under existing law. And if Trump is president, we're going to continue to have RFS If Trump isn't elected president, then we could still rely on EPA to continue it if they decide not to continue it. And those of us that are from biofuel country, we would have to pass legislation to do it. And that's kind of the best that I can predict for right now.
Is there the political support to pass that kind of legislation?
Well, that legislation wouldn't be considered until 2021 or 22, and it'd be impossible for me to tell you that at this point. Mara Lee at International Trade.
Yes, Senator, thank you. After your speech last week about 232 reform, Senator Wyden put out a statement saying there's no language. Isn't that because you haven't gotten clarity from his staff on what kind of language Democrats might support in committee?
Yes.
Did your speech shake anything loose in negotiations?
No, because I think that it's because we have up USMCA now. And that's a problem for Democrats. I don't think it's a problem for Wyden, but it's a problem for Democrats generally. And I think he's got that to work with and needs more time on 232. And I'm willing to give him more time because I don't see how I can move productively ahead without his cooperation. And I think that he and I can get things done together. So if he's not ready to move, I got to be patient.
Do you think it'll be next year then?
I don't think it can happen until we pass USMCA. And so if that's getting close to Christmas, the answer to your question is yes. But if this week we'd pass USMCA, then I think we'd have an opportunity to deal with 232 yet this year. Maybe not to get it out of committee, but to reach an agreement between him and me. By the way, if he and I had an agreement, since we have different points of view among the members that have not been worked out, I would say we'd be putting down a Grassley-Wyden mark that would be subject to amendment and let the regular process work. So I'm not sure what I could tell you would be the final outcome. But I assume it'd be something that Wyden and I could vote for. Hannah at Inside U.S. Trade. Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Here. I was on mute. Good morning, Senator. I know that you won't comment on the Acevedo meeting, so let me just ask instead about, I understand that you might be meeting with Ambassador Lighthizer in the near future on WTO issues specifically. Do you know when that meeting might take place and what issues are you looking to kind of clarify with him and get an update on?
I think we'll have a meeting soon, but I don't know exactly what I can say about the exact time at this point. But it'll be soon. Okay, thank you all very much. Goodbye.